Well, earlier in the service, we dedicated these families and their children to the Lord. And one of the ways these families have demonstrated that they value and consider all life to be sacred is through the adoption process. And so we're going to spend some time now just hearing their stories and their experiences with adoption and what the Lord has taught them through that. And I believe as we hear their joys and their struggles with adoption, that we will all receive a clearer picture of and maybe even a greater sense of gratitude for our own adoption into God's family. So let me start by asking this question to you all. What first turned your hearts towards adoption? Where did it all start for you? What did those initial steps look like?
Okay. All right, this will go better, I promise. You know, it's really interesting. We have three of our natural born children that I think most of you guys know. And I was perfectly fine, I thought. And, you know, Jen wanted a larger family, but we, three C-sections later, we knew that that wasn't going to be possible. And so we started tossing around the idea of, well, we've always wanted to play a bigger role in kids' lives, and so maybe we foster, to adopt, maybe we adopt. And so we just thought, what's the first step? So we went to Buckner and went to one of their initial classes just to find out what in the world this means and how do you even do something like that. And what's really interesting is we show up and Bill and Melissa Ash are sitting there. And this was what year? I think you figured it out. 2012. So here we are in 2021 and 2020. I told y'all this would go better, right? So 2020, and so you can kind of do the math. It took a while. And we only went to one class. And for us, it became really interesting. You know, we walked in just really wanting information. And I remember laying there, you know, kind of sitting there in our bed propped up thinking, okay, we're going to dive into this and we're going to figure out what we're going to do. And it became really clear she wanted a baby. And I'm like, I'm done with that. And she's like, well, what do you want? I'm like, well, I think I want an older kid. I think I want a little boy that I could really, like, pour into. And we just... We were struggling with that. And then the next thing I really recognized is they gave us, or maybe it was a computer program, it's too long ago, I can't remember exactly, but there were all these kids all over the world, and they were trying to give us a good indication of what's out there. And I felt like I was, like, picking from a mail order catalog, and that just seemed so wrong to me. And we both just said, you know what? You know, we found out a lot today, and over this last week, let's just park that and let God work that in our hearts, and when he's ready, it'll happen. And I guess a little over 3 years ago, I came home, and I remember it to this day, thought everything was cool, got out of my car, walked in the front door, and she was sitting on the couch with a computer and tears in her eyes, and I thought, what in the world did I just walk into? And I thought, I'm going to turn around and go back out. And a friend of ours had actually sent her a picture of Finley and his story.
And she posted it on Facebook.
Yeah, she posted it on Facebook. Yep.
Yeah, not sent directly to me, but was out there.
It was out there.
You want to finish the rest of it?
I can try. I'll try to get through it. a friend of mine who had adopted a little girl from China who had become kind of an advocate for adoption was in the process of actually adopting her second daughter. They had a couple of kids beforehand too. So I just was perusing Facebook like some of us do. And there was just a picture of a little boy. And I'd seen pictures before of other kids. And you hear stories. But this one just really, it grabbed my heart. And I know that was from the Lord. Because we were not looking to adopt at that point. We hadn't even talked about it for years. And So I saw his cute little dimpled smile. Everybody knows the way Finn smiles. It just will get you every time. And then I opened up the blog post to his story. And it just told his background. It didn't give everything, because you have to go through a process of putting in an application and stuff to hear that part, but was just telling how desperately he wanted a family. And he walked into this, but much worse. So that's kind of how our process started. And it's a longer story than that, but that was the beginning, so.
Am I on?
Okay, I'm on.
Okay, so you mentioned, Jen, an advocate, and you, when you find yourself in these situations where you're adopting, you are an advocate. I've become an advocate for it. If you talk to me, it's passionate to me, but it all started with a friend of mine and a family who has fostered to adopt, and it was my friend Kara, and she told me that she could see me being a foster parent, and I'm single, and I had just bought a house, and I wasn't even in my house 6 months. My friend Kara and some other girls, we had started reading a book, a devotional. It was actually a 40-day devotional called Trust Without Borders, and it wasn't really on my horizon to look into it or anything, but I mean, it was sitting in the back of my mind. But after reading that book, I just felt like I needed to at least apply and look into it. And so I applied through Covenant Kids, or it's now CK Family Services, and just learned more, went to the meetings where you hear about it. And also another big factor in it is I'm a teacher librarian now. I taught for 6 years, third and fourth grade, and then I became the librarian at my school after getting my master's. And I think that's one thing that I never had a vision that I would do. I never thought I would be a librarian. And I never thought I would be an adoptive parent either. So it's just, you know, you don't know the plans that God has for you. So after reading that book and then also just seeing the kids at my school, watching kids at my school leave to go into foster care or come to my school in foster care, that played a really big part in my life too, just watching that and knowing that I had this house that I had just bought with two empty bedrooms that I could fill it with. I had two beds, and I had a bed in each room, and kids could sleep in those, these kids that are just coming in. And so that was a big part of it for me too, and it was a push to do that. So that's kind of where I got started. And as far as my kids, like Jamil, I got a call to have Jamil the day I got accepted. The day I got my certificate, I got a call about Jamil, about a boy that needed to be adopted. And I just knew. I knew it was him. And then as far as Dayana, she was already at my school. She was one of those kids that was at my school. And she went home, and she came back three weeks later. And I just knew. I wasn't even, at that point, I don't think I was certified to foster. And I just said, I wonder if I could adopt her. I want to adopt her. But her story was so different, because Jamil was ready to be adopted when he came to live with me, but Dayana wasn't. She had plans to move out of state to be with family, with some extended family. And so for 2 years, we waited and went back and forth on whether she was going to move or not. And so I didn't know if I was going to adopt. I had it in my heart and in my mind that I wasn't. But God had a different plan for that too, and now I got them both. So that's my process. So
hi, our story is a little bit unique. Our adoption process started in 2003. 2 weeks after Hannah was born, I got a phone call from the doctor, and the doctor said, "We think Bill has MS." 6 weeks later, I got to go back to my appointment for, you know, my checkup after giving birth. And the doctor asked me, she said, "What are your plans? Are we going to have more? What do you want to do? Do we want to, you're done, you want to do more, and I just cried. I said, I don't know what's next. My husband was just diagnosed with MS, and I have no clue what we're going to do next. So Emily got in kindergarten, and whenever she was in class, she had a classmate that was in foster care. And through, you know, going to lunch, I finally found out she had three other siblings, and I just like, there's no way, we're not at a place, Bill, we haven't even discussed this, but, you know, so I just kind of put it back in mind, but my desire was always to adopt, and it was just all kind of one of those things always on my heart.
So God worked on me a little bit different. It was a few years later from Melissa meeting that little girl, and like she said, she didn't say anything to me. She, you know, we were living through fear and doubt for quite a while. Not knowing, you know, if my MS would get bad, good, just not knowing, right? So that stopped our, you know, 2.5 kids, you know, perfect home, out in the suburbs idea, you know, our initial plan maybe. But like I said, a few years later, working through and studying through the book Crazy Love, I was extremely convicted around our wealth, if you will, and our what we had, and the lack of using what we had for the Lord. We had a house, and we literally didn't use the top floor. We'd go up there every once in a while, and it was just a waste. It was a waste of space. And I was convicted that we either need to sell, we need to move, we need to do something, right? And I told Melissa this. I said, honey, we need to move. We need to sell it. We need to do something different than what we're doing just sitting here.
And then I said, we could adopt.
And literally that was it. I mean, I instantly knew at that point in time she was absolutely correct. We could utilize what God had already given us, what we already had, and we were just sitting there not using, to help others. That's what got us moving down that road. Little did we know that path did start in 2003, right, when I was diagnosed, because we would have tried for another kid, because there should always be a little William running around, right? But we didn't, and we stopped. And that actually stopped our process from moving forward with additional biological kids. Little did we know that actually started our adoption journey, and it was started without us knowing anything. As far as process, so that's what really got us going. As far as process, there's a lot of paperwork, right? And there's a lot of training that goes into it. So we instantly knew that we wanted to move down this path. We reached out to Buckner, and we decided to attend their orientation session. And we saw Tyler and Meg, or Jen, sorry.
Meg, Jen.
Whoever. Them. We actually saw them. We did.
I brought Jen with me.
So we actually saw them. It was like, well, a familiar face. Just kind of interesting. We continued down that process. Through approximately a 7-week training program just to get some of the initial work done. There are lots of people that come to your house when you're a foster parent or you're fostering to adopt, and there's lots of background checks and stuff. But the process overall can be relatively short, within, you know, 3 or 4 months before you might get your first placement. Or it could be a year or two. So it varies on timeline. But that's where we started.
Ordinary people whose hearts broke with what breaks God's, willing to obey. Obviously, your lives change quite a bit in this process. What are some of those ways where your lives have changed? And I know there's good and bad involved in this answer.
So I think the biggest change has been you know, when everybody knows what a blended family is. This is a completely different blended family. We got to see God move in each one of our hearts individually, and then we got to see God move collectively as a family. We're not done. The people always ask, well, how are your other kids doing? Well, that takes a long time to flesh out. That it doesn't just, you know, you've got kids with all kinds of different ways of handling things. We all handle it differently. One of the biggest stories that we saw in this whole thing that showed up first was really our oldest, Ethan. And, you know, you look for these little God moments because you need them. You've got to figure out, are we doing this because of us? Are we doing this because God really talked to us about this? And, you know, we had our powwow around the table to tell everybody, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. And obviously Caroline and Wyatt, being a lot younger at the time, were like, yay, you know, and almost like we're adopting a puppy. And, you know, but they were excited. And that was really fun to see. Ethan's first response, who was 14 at the time, was no way. And if you know Ethan, that is not an Ethan response without a lot of background. And so let's talk to us. And why would we want to mess up the perfect family? I don't know what you say to that. And I was like, well, okay. All right. What do we do with that? You know, and I said, okay, well, do me a favor. Let's say this. We're not there yet, but we're praying through it. And so what I would love for you to do is we would like to see you go away for a couple weeks and just pray. Pray for your heart. Pray for ours. Pray that our family would see this the way that God wants us to see this. And then tell us what you think. And because we are seeking God in this first. And it wasn't 10 days later, maybe less, he came to us and sat down and said, guys, I'm going to love that little kid. And he has done nothing but that the entire time. As a matter of fact, when we took him to China with us, and he was our rock through that whole thing, he was able to kind of be God's loving hand. And I remember we were having a major breakdown between Finn and us. It was just that first day. It was just raw. And he knew Jen and I needed a break. And he said, hey, I got him. I love this kid. And he said, y'all go take a walk. I remember thinking, well, who is this kid and where did he come from? So you see these little things come out in each other. You see them come out in your kids, and you just, those are those little God moments that are, they may not meant much to him, but they meant the world to us. And they continue to happen, you know. And so that's my answer. That's our answer.
Well, I'll just start off. First off, you know, our four little ones, they've been through far more in their short little life than what we could ever imagine. And, you know, of course, you know, it's messy, you know, it can be ugly at times. And of course, you know, we deal with the consequences of those things. And, but the big but is we're a family. We love each other through it. And to see us form that family bond and grow stronger as a family through it all is amazing. And, you know, Emily and Hannah have been instrumental in us having four kids. I don't know if, you know, I always make sure to let them know that it's not their responsibility, but the way they have stepped up and the way they have come and done and willingly done for these kids is amazing. So
clearly it's not easy. How do you do it? Does it take a special family, a special person to do all this?
Quick answer, no. So, you know, I've been asked that, and I've been asked it a couple times. And my answer is still the same. I'm just Bill. This is just Melissa. We're not special. We're just willing, right? So it doesn't take a special person. It takes a willing person, somebody that's willing to follow where God is leading, more so than one that is already empowered. Because if God wants you to go there, he will empower you and equip you to do his will.
How has our church family and friends helped or encouraged you in and through this process?
I would say majorly. I have an awesome small group. We're full, by the way. Everybody wants in. No. But my small group is amazing. The Ashes are in my small group, and I hadn't started the process yet whenever I was in the small group, and so they saw me through it, and I think the small group saw y'all from the beginning through it too, right? Yeah. So I encourage you, if you're doing any life event, join a small group, because having that connection is just amazing. They've come through in ways that are just, I can't even think of all the ways that they've come through, whether it just be a meal or anything like that, or just saying, how are you doing? You know, how's it going? Or how can I help? Or something like that. That's definitely a way the church can back us up. So.
Well, I don't want to name anybody specifically, but we do have just a wonderful church and just some great people. We've been here for, we've been here for over 10 years. And they've loved all of our kids like family, and have watched them grow and have helped keep them on the straight and narrow. And just with Finn, you know, the one thing that I look at the end of the day is if we can just, not we, if just bringing him home brings him to know the Lord, it's worth anything. Even just one person, one kid. And he asks, you know, he's asked several times, you know, why doesn't God heal my legs? Why doesn't he, why did he make me this way? And we just say, Finn, one day, whenever you come to know Jesus, he is going to give you the most amazing story and platform to be able to talk to other kids who might be dealing with a disability or are from an adoptive family, or just life happens and things are hard. So God could heal you at this moment, but he has a bigger plan for you. And that's a tough question from a little kid. So, you know, just instilling those things in our kid, teaching them the truth, the Sunday school teachers, the people that just come up and give him a high five and just love on him, is just, you have no idea how much that means. And people that just come up and talk to us and ask us how we're doing, sometimes we're doing great and sometimes we're not. So it's a long process. It's never what you think it's going to be, both good and bad. And we're just so thrilled to have you guys. This is our second family. So just keep doing what you're doing. Keep reaching out to the parents and the kids, and you know, just let them know that whatever they say is valuable and it's heard. And
I'd like to add on to that too, just that there are people that reach out to my kids here in the church and who just stop and talk to them, ask them how their basketball game went, ask them, you know, what they're up to these days. And that just, that means a lot to me too, just watching y'all pour into my kids, whether it be through Awana or through the youth or Sunday school teachers. It just, it really means a lot, having individuals just reach out to my kids. So.
I think it's interesting. With Finn rolling around here in his little chair, and I don't see anybody here has ever been scared to approach him. And he loves that. I mean, if you met Finn, you know that he has not met a stranger. And he gets so giddy over the fact that he knows so many of y'all stop by and say hi to him. What I would just say is, don't be afraid to engage him if you haven't. Don't be afraid to ask him over to play. I think a lot of people see that wheelchair and don't know what he can and can't do. And he can do so many things. It's amazing. He learned English like in 4 months. He had it down. I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. So don't be afraid of him, please. And I say that because we're a family, right? And y'all have treated us that way. And he fits in amazingly. And it's because y'all are so warm and welcoming and loving to him.
So to echo Aaron, we do have the best small group ever. just saying. No, but there are so many examples of godly people that embrace the true nature of sanctity of life. We have people fighting for the unborn in this church. We have people throughout the middle. We have people that love on the unwanted people. And we have people caring for elderly. And just that example is, to me, means the world.
Well, like Bill said, it is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And, you know, maybe, you know, adoption isn't your thing, or, you know, maybe kid, you know, this isn't your, but we have, like I said, we have people in nursing homes who don't have anybody come see them. We have, you know, people who, you know, serve the homeless. You know, there's all kinds of ways to serve, and there's no reason why anybody couldn't find a way to serve. And, you know, we're not all called to serve in the same way, but, you know, we are all called to serve.
You guys love well, so keep it up, keep it up. As we start to wrap it up, are there any scripture passages that have been particularly meaningful to you in this entire process? Bill, how about you start?
Let's go, Bill, because I don't have one, because there's so many things that have to be pulled out in our everyday walk with this. I just don't.
Genesis 1 through...
Yeah.
Would you read
those? There are so many. And David's going to whoop me for not having my reference right, and that's okay. In Proverbs, and I want to say 18:10, but that's probably wrong. I know it's wrong, so that's all right. You know, it says, we make plans with our heart, but the Lord actually guides our steps. And that's kind of our motto through our journey here is, we made plans of our 2.5 kids, perfect house. It didn't work out that way. God had other plans. He may have looked at our plans and said, yeah, nice try. But he had the real plan, right? And the real plan was for us to have 6 kiddos in our home, right? That verse rings true more often than not of, we make our own plans, but God actually guides our steps.
16:9.
Thank you, 16:9.
I have two, or several, but Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So many times we try to lean on what we understand or what we see or what we don't see, and we can get really, really crazy. You know, it can just really wear you down. And to always realize that, don't lean on my own understanding, lean on his, and he will always make the path straight. And then I have to read, oh my. Another one would be Ephesians 1, 4, and 7, which I'm gonna read. I don't have that memorized, but. No, all those cards are not ours. But it is, blessed be the Lord Father, Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in him in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to his purpose and his will. That one was really special to me because it had just made me realize I'm that orphan. I'm Kaylin or Liana, and I know how difficult the insight I have received from adoption is, how difficult and how hard this journey has been. You know, that I'm difficult, I'm stubborn, I'm hard, but he chose me. And not only did he choose me, he made me an heir. I am a brother and sister of Christ. We are brothers and sisters of Christ, and I am in awe. It just left me in awe of that, of what he's done for me. It's just a minuscule understanding that has been given. You know, I'll never understand it all, but it just leaves me in awe of what he's done for me.
One that is really popular among adoption and orphan is James 1:27. That was on y'all's shirt, right? I asked you that. And just that's, we're called to help the widows and the orphans. So that one rang true to me. And then also just, Andy, you read Proverbs 1:39, how he knit us together in our mother's womb. And even though my kids were not in, I didn't birth them, but God knew them before they were even on walking on this earth, and that they're his chosen one. So that one too.
I think it all comes down to that adoption as well for us, because we'll see Finn have a meltdown. I mean, how could you not? You come from that kind of background, and oftentimes I walk in and I go, man, how many times have I done that with God? I'm rejecting where I am. I'm rejecting who I'm, intertangled with the situation, and I reject God daily in some way or another. And God's story is one, if not anything, it's all about his redeeming love and grace for us, and he redeems those things that just are thrown away. You know, and Finn was left on a train by his mother, and he knows this. And God doesn't walk away from us. And I think there are people out there that just don't really truly understand the love of God and how he left 99 to chase that one. And to me, that just continues to support, you know, to help me, because I often ask, why am I worthy? And why are we worthy to be his parents? You know, so I don't know. Isaiah 41:10, Jeremiah 29:11. We could just keep going down the list. It's just awesome.
Well, Bill and you.
You know, this has been by far the hardest thing we have ever done as a family. By far the hardest. But usually the things we work the hardest on are the things that are worth the most to us. And I can definitely say that has application to our adoption, but it also, in so many other ways, it has application to everybody else. I mean, your spiritual walk, your family, you know, I can definitely say, you know, the things we've worked the hardest on are the most important in our life, and I can definitely say this applies here.
Well, Bill, Melissa, Aaron, Jen, and Tyler, we thank you for your willingness to share your experiences with us, and I know we just scratch the surface on the process, the good, the bad, all of it. But we thank you for your willingness to share with us. More importantly, thank you for the love that you guys have shown, are showing, and we know that you will share for these kids for the rest of their lives. We pray God's blessing upon each one of your families. A couple of closing comments before I pray. To adopt someone is to make that person a legal son or daughter. That is what these families have done. But what a beautiful picture that is of what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He chose us so that he could adopt us. And that's what adoption is. It's when you choose someone to be your child. And we were chosen by God out of a world of sinners to become his adopted children. God says, I am moving you from the family of Satan into my own family. Why? Because of God's great love for us. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these families up here with us today and their boldness to step out in faith and do something very hard. Thank you for their obedience to your leading in their lives. And we ask your blessing upon each one of them. Father, we thank you for all of their beautiful children. And we pray that each one of them will grow up to be the godly man and woman that you have called them to be. Help us as a church, as your people, to support these children and their families and love them and encourage them for your glory and your honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.